Thank you, Pastor. It's truly an honor for me to come here. And I thank Pastor Rodney Light. In fact, he sends you his warmest greetings. Last night he told me to please convey. And so I am so grateful that all of you who have, I'm seeing you for the first time. I did meet Pastor a few years ago at the conference in Rivera, Texas. I'm thankful to Pastor Dana for having brought me here. She is ordained, so I call her Pastor Dana. I used to call her sister, but now I call her Pastor Dana. But I'm so thankful for this warmth and fellowship that I feel in the house of the Lord. You know, I may be from India. You don't know me. I don't know you. But, you know, we serve the same Jesus. And that's what connects us, because I was in India, where I grew and was raised up. If you ask me way back in the year, even in the year 2000, because at that time I was working as a Christian journalist, I did a couple of Christian magazines for about 10 years along with my wife, and we were working in some Christian organizations. And prior to that, I had 7 years of training. I'll share a little bit of my testimony, but if you had asked me in the year 2000, my first name is Matthew, my surname is Jacob, so I have a biblical name, and you may wonder, from India, how come I have a Christian name? Well, I'll explain that in a little moment from now. But if you had asked me in the year 2000, would you ever travel the nations? I would have said, that was an emergency alert from Texas. I don't know why it came on my phone. So, I had never traveled overseas till the year 2001. I get a prophecy in the month of March 2001 that you'll be traveling the nations. That was my dream, and I couldn't even think of it. But in 3 months' time, I was on my first mission trip, or rather I would say, my first overseas flight that I'm catching. If you ask me how it happened, it was God. I landed in the World Pentecostal Conference in California, and the Lord fulfilled the desire of my heart to come to the U.S. Ever since I came, in my first visit to the U.S., I've made several visits, and then I did a training in 2005 in Maui, USA for 1 month, and I went back. And then since 2006, the Lord has brought me here many, many times. I've traveled within the U.S. quite a number of places. But last year, when I was here in the U.S., in the month of March, I was in New York. The middle of March was so scary. Everything was shutting down in New York. My pastor friend, Pastor Rodney Light, said, "You're still around? You're not gone?" I said, "Pastor, I'm going in a few days." But when he told me New York may shut down, I was preaching that Sunday, March the 15th. I could not even wait for another 2 days. I had to rebook because Pastor Light told me, "You better get back." So I didn't wait for two more days. I flew down back into India. And then over this last 1 year, I've been watching the news and the media. And sometimes it's so scary. And I even wonder whether I'll ever come back to the U.S. But here I am after 1 year, back again in the U.S. to greet you and to meet you. And I must say that the Lord is good. When I landed here in Texas, this time I landed in Dallas. This is very strange. When I landed here in Texas, praise God. I don't know what's going on in my phone. I never get these alerts. It says emergency alerts. I don't know. But, yeah. If it comes again, I'll turn it off. I had some scriptures. That's why I didn't turn it off. So, I landed in Dallas, Texas. And the immigration officer, when he sees my passport, he looks at my name and he says, "Matthew Jacob." And it took him by surprise that from India he sees a name called Matthew Jacob. And then he says, "That's from the Bible." I said, "So it is." And he had a badge on with the name Paris. And I I had a pastor friend called Ferris, so I knew his name was in the Bible too. So I looked at him and I said, your name is in the Bible too. And then he goes on to say, I picked in my spirit that this man must definitely be a believer. By the way, he was a Baptist. I said, I'm a missionary that I keep coming to the US, and he saw my passport. He doesn't ask no more questions. He stamps me for 6 months. He takes off his gloves. He takes off his mask. He gives me the warmest shake hand that he can do as an immigration officer. And all I can say is, oh my God, look at the welcome I'm getting into the US. I turned back at him and I said, I'll never forget you for life. And I said goodbye to him and I crossed over. So you can imagine how that means to me when you are traveling in COVID times and when you get a welcome of that kind. I feel God is really leading my steps. And a pastor friend of mine from South Africa, he called me and said, you are very brave. I had a pastor friend in Corpus Christi. When I met him the other day, he said, you're very daring. But I like to say, the Lord has put, I don't know what to call it. I stepped out July the 14th, 1984, from my comfort zone when I was taking care of my father's business. I used to be a florist in downtown Bangalore selling flowers. So if you ask me about flowers, I can kind of guess, I know a little bit. But July 14th, 1984, raised up in a Catholic background, at the age of 18, I got born again. At the age of 22, I got kind of, I would say the opposition from my family circles were very strong because they could not understand how a family that followed the Catholic traditions, and they find me at the age of 22 going against the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, the way I was raised up. My dad couldn't understand. He thought I was brainwashed. I have an uncle of mine who was a priest, my mom's brother. I have a mom's sister who was a nun. I have a family tree that is so steeped in Catholicism. At the age of 22, all I can say is, I just want to follow this Bible. And that led me to take a strong stand for the truth. I can go on talking about how I came out of the Catholic Church, but that's a long story. But I just knew one thing. I had to obey what was written in the Word of God. So at the age of 24, I was not given much of a choice. I either obey what the Catholic Church says and listen to my dad and continue to work alongside with him, or in his own words that he used at that time, I guess he didn't mean it, but he was trying to be very, very strong on me at the age of 24. In India, we generally don't leave home. At the age of 18, we don't leave our homes. We stay on till we get married, and then most men leave their homes during the time of their marriage. By then, I think they've got a good job, and then they tend to leave home. But my dad said, I'm going to break your bones for you. So no bones broken. I left home at the age of 24 because he said, next Sunday, I got to see you in the Catholic Church. That's how I stepped out from my comfort zone. I went to the city of Mumbai, one of the largest cities in India. I grew up in the city of Bangalore. Pastor was having a look at how Bangalore City looks this morning on the internet. And I came into this huge city. And to cut the story short, 2 weeks down, I was in the largest ghettos in the whole of Asia. The pastor who invited me had me to stay in the largest ghettos. And he said, you know what? There are two things you can do. He said, one, you can pray about what you want to do about your life. You had a degree. Yes. You can get a job if you want. Or you can pray about whether you want to do the ministry and serve the Lord. So I said, yes, I'll pray about it. So in this shack that I was staying, I went on my knees and I would pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And that's where the call of God came into my life. Right in the ghettos, God spoke to my heart and I surrendered my life And I said, Jesus, I dedicate this life to serving you. I'll never go into secular world. I'll never do any secular business. It's not that I am against anybody doing secular business. I know a lot of pastors who try to do both. I'm not against that. But in my case, from the year 1984, July 14th to this day, God is my witness, I've only been in Christian ministry. There was a period of 10 or 12 years where I worked as a Christian journalist and worked for Christian organizations and I got a salary. But again, from 2001 to this day, I have lived by faith and because God trained me to trust Him. If you ask me if it has been an easy journey, no. If you ask me if it's been exciting, yes. If you ask me if it's been adventurous, very adventurous. If you ask me with a family of 3 children and then having a foster son that we had him for the last 11 years, trusting God for all your needs, traveling nations, traveling places, running a church, supporting orphans, supporting the cause of widows, planting seeds of the gospel in many parts of India, in Asia, been to Africa, and of course, always had the call of God in my life to see churches revived, churches on fire for God, churches filled with the Holy Spirit, churches anointed with fresh fire. It's my dream and my passion that wherever I go, that I would love to allow God to use me. I'm humble this morning as I stand here because I think the Western churches have become very complacent because we have everything. And so when COVID hit, we just tend to think that, you know, COVID is around. Why should I go to church? Let me watch an online service. And a lot of people do the same around the world. But I want to tell you, if I could travel all the way from India in the midst of the COVID and come here and visit you, then you have no reason to come to your church and worship Jesus every week. I also want to say that you must know that Joshua and Caleb are 2 men in the Bible. They were adventurous and they had a bold spirit. They were very courageous. And they said, God has given us this land and we will go and possess the land. The other 10 spies who went were afraid and they said, you know what? Man, there are giants there. They'll swallow us up. But the same 2 young men, Joshua and Caleb, they had a different mindset. They saw giants, but those giants looked like grasshoppers. And not only that, they had a different mindset. They said, God has given us that land. We will go and possess it. And so I want to challenge you today. Don't allow your limitations. Don't allow the COVID. Don't allow the things that you hear on the media to limit you from what God has for you. Because you know what? The Bible says, eyes have not seen nor the ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. I think I've completed 35 years in full-time Christian ministry, but I look to Pastor as my senior. He's a seasoned man. He's a man of God. I was just looking at his life and he was sharing a little bit of his experiences. I feel humbled to be here to say we need to follow in the footsteps of the men who have gone before us, who have shown us because of their experience, because of their maturity, at the age of 18 or 19, he started to preach. Yeah. And so did I. At the age of 18, I got saved. And but I never knew I would be a preacher of the gospel. But the Lord led me to step out in the year 1984. And since then, I've been in the Lord's work. If you ask me, I want to thank God for this opportunity once again to read a few scriptures from the Bible and go into the Word, what the Lord has laid in my heart. My first scripture for today is from Isaiah chapter 56 and verses 7. And my theme will be from Romans chapter 8. And I would like somebody, I would read it if somebody is not ready to read it. But let me read verse 7 of Isaiah 56 verses 7. Praise God. It says here in verse 7, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my people shall be called a house of prayer for all nations or for all peoples. Amen.
Amen.
The New King James Version says nations, and the Old King James Version says all peoples, which means the same. I know that this scripture is self-explanatory, but I believe that at this time that we are living in, God is calling us to be a people of prayer. God is gathering the nations to come back to His feet. We read about Mary, we read about Martha. A lot of ministries are running around doing a lot of things like Martha was. And I'm not saying Martha didn't play a good role, but I believe the need of the hour is for Mary's. Mary's in the church. Mary's at home to pray. I know Pastor's wife was an intercessor. I've never met her. I've just heard a little bit about her. And he was just recalling how from the living room she went into her bedroom. Nothing disturbed her. She was locked in prayer. The word of the Lord says here, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Why am I sharing this verse? The Lord said, you know, I used to try and be a pastor in a local church. The Lord released me from all that 3 years ago. And He said, your focus should be to raise people. If people need to see revival, they have to pray. How many of you heard of the name called John Hyde? If you have heard about this missionary, yes. I see a few hands that I've heard. I talk about John Hyde a lot because he was a missionary from the US and he came to India. John Hyde was a great man of God whom God raised from the soil of the United States of America. And John Hyde, after he finished his Bible college, God calls him as a missionary to come to India. Back in 1920s, there were not many flights. So he took a ship and he was on that journey to come to India, probably via England, because in those days, I don't think America had a direct sea route to come to India. When he landed in India, the Lord led him to go to the state of Punjab in India, in North India. And Punjab is where the Sikhs live, the ones that you see on the road sometimes with a turban on their heads. They are from the state of Punjab. A lot of Punjabis live in US and even in Canada. And you know them because of the fact that they don't cut their hair and they have another religion called the Sikh religion. So that's the state where John Hyde came. And this man, he is passionate about saving souls and praying for India. Most of you who have read his biography know that he never lived beyond 40 years. But this man fasted and he prayed. And today in India, we are seeing a revival in the very state of Punjab, thanks to the man of God who went before us and prayed for days and hours. One time he was, I believe, in a big meeting that they had arranged, I think in England. He also traveled in between to other countries and people were waiting for him. And when the time came for John Hyde to come on the pulpit, they couldn't find him because he had forgotten. He was so lost, intensively lost in his closet of prayer, that when the time came for John Hyde to come on the pulpit, they couldn't find him. So they woke him up, or rather he was in the spirit, and they had to literally get him. He was weak by then because he had spent days fasting and praying. And as he stood that morning in church, he only spoke three words. But revival came forth. The three words that he spoke, as thousands of people were listening to him, was the three words, "My Heavenly Father." That's all he said. The revival broke out in that huge gathering. How did revival break out? The man had prayed so much that he need not had to preach. When he lifted his two hands to heaven and he said, "My Heavenly Father," the prayer that was behind those three words, the hours that he had probably agonized in the presence of God by asking God to bring a revival broke out. People were now getting healed. They were seeing visions of the Lord. They were accepting the Lord. They were repenting of their sins. They were turning back to God. And that is what the ministry of the man did. So much so that John Hyde was no more called John Hyde. His name was Praying Hyde. They started calling him Praying Hyde. And he had a cry in his heart. And the cry was, "Give me India or I die." That was his prayer. That was his cry. And doctors told him, as he was having some issues with his health, they said, "You got to slow down, give up your fasting, don't do all this, and you know you have to." But he continued to press on to what God had called him. He lived. He didn't live to the age of 40 years. But guess what? He has left a legacy for us to follow. His cry was, "Give me India or I die." And I come as a missionary from India to challenge you this morning. Can you pray this prayer, "Give me America or I die"? I challenge you to have that prayer that John Hyde had, an American missionary who left the soil of America, left his comfort zone, laid down his life because he wanted to see a revival. Would you be able to say, "Lord, give us Ingleside, give us Texas, give us our nation back. Lord, we want to rebuild the walls of prayer. Lord, we want to see a revival in the land. Lord, we want to see the people healed. We want to see the sick healed. We want to see those with back issues, body issues. We want to see supernatural miracles. We want to see recreated miracles. We want to see the power of God in action. We want to see lives turned around. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and will seek my face and will turn away from their wicked ways," then God promises in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "I will hear their cry and I will heal the land." Amen. It is my desire to see the nation of America come back to the foot of the cross. In a few days, we're going to experience what the world celebrates every year, Good Friday, and then what I call Resurrection Sunday. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We need to see the power of His resurrection. How many of you believe that God wants to use anybody who's available for Him? Amen. Can you have that prayer like John Hyde had? "Lord, give me back America. Give me America, Lord. Give me this nation, Lord. Give me this nation that has been a nation that has sent out missionaries all over the world, supported the work of global missions like no other nation, supported the work of the kingdom. And look what has happened today." I believe we are on a wake-up mission. I believe the call is now or never. And we need to say, "Lord, restore this land." Let's turn to the book of Romans 8. I remember I was in Dubai one time, and they only gave me 5 minutes to preach. And I said, "What do I speak for 5 minutes, Lord?" And the Lord led me to Romans chapter 8 at that time. And many times, you know, it's hard to believe. A faith preacher is one that has to trust God for all his needs. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." But I don't know about you, but I don't have a credit card and I don't believe in having one. Thank God I don't need a credit card, actually, because I tried to apply for one and God stopped me from it. Because if you have a credit card, you'll use your credit card and pull out money when you need. But I do have a couple of debit cards. And debit card only works when you have money in it, right? But God taught me a principle. And the principle that He taught me is that if you have faith, whatever you believe God for, He will give it to you. He will supply your needs. And He's always been on time. I just had enough money to take that flight to come to the United States of America this time and go back. He is always on time. He always provides. And He is always faithful to provide. So I was in Dubai. And I was saying, "Lord, what do I preach? They've given me only 5 minutes to speak." And I turned to Romans 8 and I read through these verses. And I read Romans 8. And let me read from verse 28. And we know that all those who love God, all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. God's plan for every one of us is that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus. We need to grow to be like Jesus. We need our character to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We need our lives to become like Jesus. We are not supposed to be the same person that when a child is growing, you want to see that child grow. You don't want that child to be stagnant. You want to see the child grow. In the same way, how much more our God desires that we be like Jesus. The Word of God says, I can see Jesus in pastor, truly. So you have a pastor that is building you up week after week, sharing the Word, pastoring in order to build you up. For what reason? That we would be conformed to the image of Jesus. And the Word of God says here, praise the Lord, in verse 29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. God wants the glory in our lives. Then verse 31, I'm reading very quickly because of lack of time, and I have something more very important to share with you. And I went on to share from these verses of 31. It says, what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want to tell you, if God is for you, nobody can be against you. No sickness can come nigh your tent. No devil can come nigh your tent. And the Word of God says here, if God is for you, who can be against us? For He that did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how much more also will He freely give us all things? Amen. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us, who does intercession for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in prayer right now for every one of us. He's the greatest intercessor. For we find it hard to pray, but our Lord Jesus said, is the interceding for us. And He taught us to pray. Then when the disciples asked Him to pray, Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. And I'm not going to the Lord's Prayer this morning. But if you meditate on the Lord's Prayer, there's so much of richness in that prayer. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from the wicked one. For Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. And so it goes on to say, this is a scripture I want to explain. It says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or peril. Nakedness or peril. Right now, you know, this is not even a pandemic and we are scared of it. We think, you know, the whole world is gripped by it. But I want to tell you, this is not even a pandemic. It may be a viral. I don't even know how many people are dying actually because of this COVID. But the Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. No peril, no sword, as it is written, for your sake we have been killed all the day long. We are regarded as a sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present or things to come, It says, the next verse says, nor heights or depths, nor any other thing in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I've come to tell you this morning that nothing should separate you from God's love. Amen. I've come to tell you this morning that God loves you and has a bigger plan than you think. I've come to tell you that God's love cannot be compared to the deepest friendship that you've had, because He loves you with an everlasting love. I've come to tell you that nothing, the Apostle Paul is saying that I'm persuaded that none of these things, famine, peril, nakedness, sword, tribulation, things to come, nothing can separate us from God's love. This morning I challenge you, beloved, if you get into the closet of prayer, if you get into intimacy with God, if you get into your room, and when you go back home and say, God, I want to refresh my prayer life. I want to refresh my time with you. I want to get, nothing should separate me, Lord. Nothing, no attraction should be there that separates me from the love that you have for me. I would urge you, I would challenge you, if you have not made it a habit to pray, begin to start praying. We often give our tithes to our church. Have you ever thought of tithing your time to the Lord? If you start tithing your time, you are supposed to give to the Lord 2 hours and 40 minutes. Most people say, I can't even do half an hour. Well, begin with half an hour. Then stretch it for another hour. And then I believe if you desire the Lord, you will be praying all the time. And that's what we are supposed to do. The Apostle Paul is writing to the book of Thessalonians. He's writing to the Thessalonians. He's saying, pray without ceasing. How do you do it? You can only do it by the Spirit. If you are spiritful, if you have the Holy Spirit, you can always be praying in other tongues. You can always be praying in the Spirit of God. You can always be driving and praying. You can be doing so many things and praying. And that's what it says. Pray in the Spirit always. And the Bible says in the book of James, but you, beloved, building up your faith in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. How many of you love to pray in the Spirit? I pray that some of you will have such an urgency. I was one time in Washington, D.C. and I met a young lady by the name of Michelle who was passing through. There was a Christian meeting going on right where the David's tent is, right by the Washington Post. And as I was crossing through, I saw this lady, and I looked at her and I said, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit since you believed? And she said, no. I said, do you want it? She said, yes. I hardly took a moment to lay my hand upon her. The Holy Spirit came upon her and she prayed in other tongues and she magnified God. Let me tell you, that was the first and the last time I met Michelle. I did not take down a number. I did not ask her. I only knew her name. And I just had at that very same moment somebody to record that on video. But let me tell you, she got filled with the same moment with the Holy Spirit that I asked her the question. That's the only question I asked her. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul is asking the same question to the Ephesian church. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? This morning, Eagleside Church, Jesus is Lord indeed, but has He become the Lord of your heart? Has He become the Lord of your life? Has He become the Lord of your family? Has He become the Lord of your children? Has He become the Lord of your house? Can you say this morning, yes, I have what it takes? God wants to manifest His presence in every one of your lives. Can you come to the overflow of God's love and say, Lord, your love means the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. I want to finally end up with one scripture, and that is from Romans 16:20. Romans 16:20 says, this is a scripture that has come very strongly to me in the last 3 weeks. The Lord has been speaking to me through the scripture. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Why did I read the scripture for you? Just to remind you that the enemy is under your feet. Just to remind you that you're more than a conqueror. Just to remind you that the devil has no power over you. You are bought by his blood. You are bought by his precious holy blood. If the enemy of our soul has been defeated by our Lord Jesus Christ, and he went back to heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit, how much more he wants to give you the Holy Spirit, how much more he wants to fill you, how much more he wants to anoint you. This day, if you are hungry, if you can have that prayer like John Hyde had, Lord, give me America. I want you to stand to your feet as we look to the Lord in prayer. If that's your desire this day, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Pastor was saying, you know, anybody wants prayer, I'll anoint and pray for healing. We want to give you another invitation to come to the altars, to rededicate your life. I'm doing a ministry where I believe I want to train missionaries. I want to have a house of prayer for all nations. Pastor asked me to leave a board behind so that you can have a look at that ministry called Gift of God Ministries at the back after the service is over. But you are called in this house of prayer. What an opportunity for you to begin to pray for those that are not coming to church. That every pew would be filled very soon. Don't wait for COVID to go. But just wait for the Holy Spirit. This morning, if God is speaking to you, I will invite Pastor to come forward again. We want to pray for anybody who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we can have a song that is in line with Pastor, you may want to recommend a song. We want to pray for those that would like to come forward. You may want to rededicate your life. You may want to say, Jesus, I want to spend half an hour with you every day in prayer. If that's your decision, just come forward. It can be more than half an hour. It can be 1 hour. But I just see an urgency, a stirring in my heart to challenge you, to take it very seriously, that you will rededicate your lives. Say, Lord, I see somebody, there are some people here having a back issue. God wants to heal your back. You may come forward. Because God is telling me very clearly, God wants to heal your back. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I usually anoint with oil, but even if there's no oil, Jesus is the healer. He can still heal. Praise God. Praise God. I also want to pray. I want to pray for those who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like Michelle, whom I met in the heart of Washington, D.C. All it took was that desire in her heart to say, I want it. And I didn't even lay my hand on her. Even before my hand touched her, she burst into other tongues. If that's what God wants to do, every one of you can be a powerhouse for the kingdom. I thank God for those that are kneeling and wanting to rededicate their lives. I also pray that as you begin to open up, when the song is being led by our dear sister, that you would begin to worship the Lord along with our dear pastor.